message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amosan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Back home with the wisdom to know what to do, how to do, where to do, and the modus operandi for us to discover, nurture, and treat rightly by your spirit the latent deposits of your spirit within our environment and for the profit of the nations, that Jesus might be glorified. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen and amen. Alright, you're welcome to Faith and Finance Seminar. Praise God forevermore. Alright, and I'll be doing a teaching that I tagged, How to Pull Yourself Up by Your Bootstraps. Alright, how to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm sure you all know bootstraps. I mean, these are ropes in, when you have, you know, these long boots, they have straps, okay? So that word strapping there, if you check the dictionary, in fact, if you type that idiom on the dictionary online, if you search on Google or Wikipedia, if you just type that idiom, pull yourself up by your bootstrap, alright? It's a 19th century idiom. And it is used to refer to, bootstrapping is used to refer to a self-starting process that is supposed to continue or grow without external input. Alright, from that simple word, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That means, you are there on the low and then you had your bootstraps with you in the boot. And then you pull yourself up, alright, by your own bootstraps. So, it's an idiom that connotes, alright, getting yourself started in life with little or nothing or with little or no help, as it were, from the externals to start with. Alright, that is what the connotation of that word, pull yourself up by your bootstrap. So this faith seminar, I bet you, is very important in the area of finance, especially if you are one of those that have dreams. Alright, that is large enough to accommodate people beyond you and your immediate environment, your immediate family. What I'm saying, essence, is if your cogitation has not gone or has not been projected beyond you and your extended family, maybe this seminar is not for you. Because just by reason of being a regular or even a scanty member of this church, there's already a covenant of prosperity and provision in this ministry. That means if you are a follower of this church, alright, I know what God said to me, you are going to be provided for. Amen. Alright? But you see, if you want more, it is as far as your eyes can see. Praise God forevermore. So, alright, so this seminar, alright, is something big, alright, and if your mind, if your dream is beyond consumption, if you are not thinking only consumption, if your cogitation is about, getting a good or maybe average life. You know, I was talking to a lady one time, I said, what do you want out of life? And she told me, well, she just want a car, a good husband, and a house, and just live a quiet life with one Mercedes, and she's cool. I said, well, God bless you if that's your dream. But if your dream is to be a blessing, praise God forevermore, then this teaching is for you. And you see, church, the body of Christ, alright, we've not really been seeing proper application of our spiritual intelligence, alright, as we ought to. And it has in one way or the other affected our disposition to life. It has in one way or the other affected, alright, what we can command and influence, as it were. You know, I'm telling you ahead of time, we're going to be having another seminar at the Workers' Day Seminar, May Day Seminar. All right? You know, I've been studying and I've been seeing the impact, all right, of having such kind of teachings, as it were, in the life of congregants and ministries that I respect so well. Praise God. Actually, ministries in the faith line that I belong to. Amen. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I preach the word of faith. I hope you know that. That's my ministry. Praise God. Now, to own a church, to pastor a church is much more than preaching, having a ministerial responsibility. But you see, the word of faith is my line. Praise God forevermore. Right. So that's what I'll be teaching. So, bootstrap is that rope in the boots. So when we say how to pull yourself up, By your bootstraps, what we mean is how to start yourself up, literally. That's what it means. How to start yourself up, all right, when it looks like you have little or no external support to start with. And this is one of the great questions you're going to be asking yourself that is common among so many people, all right? In most of the world, when as a young person you want to start out in life, one of these stereotypic mind programming expectations that you would have, that will spur up from your mind, all right, is going to be, how do I start out in life? All right, for me, there are some of you that are students, you are in your finance, you know, it's just a kind of thinking that is somehow programmed in the atmosphere of Africa, quote and unquote now. All right, because I've been there, and many people have been there that I've spoken to. All right, especially when you are in your penultimate year, you start thinking, I mean, how do I, especially if you came from a home where, all right, you're just laterally speaking on the average. So the first thing you want to start looking at is, how do I pull myself up, all right, by my bootstrap? So you want to ask, how do I reach out for help? So those are the two questions that I would naturally want to brew up, all right, in the mind of a young person, especially in countries like Nigeria as we are. So how do I start out in life? You know, and you see, somehow down the line, you want to develop a kind of mindset that puts you, all right, in the position where you begin to, you know, expect so much external support. And that's what this teaching is trying to collect. One of the things this teaching is trying to correct. So, but before I even start, I am going to read out something to you, because many a times, all right, we are looking in the wrong direction, in the wrong place. And so, you see, I wrote this out, all right, this 8, I mean, I'm first going to read, there was a research that was done in 1970, and that research revealed that these following people were orphans. I mean, how else do you explain, or how else do you describe helplessness? Is there any form of helplessness that is higher than being an orphan? I mean, no external support? Yet these people, I mean, you know Julius Caesar, he was an orphan. Napoleon was an orphan. The British, all right, government, they have produced 15 British prime ministers. As of 1970, when this research was done, 15 prime ministers who were orphans. You know, George Washington was an orphan. Thomas Jefferson was an orphan. Abraham Lincoln was an orphan. Now, I'm not saying you have to lose your parents for, I hope you're not getting me wrong. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to use that as a picture of what you would naturally term lack of external help, so to speak. And yet, they made it to the limelight. Alright? This teaching is not a church teaching. Alright? So, you open your hearts. I want to use scripture here to show you, alright, there is wisdom in the wisdom of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Alright? So, you see, Abraham Lincoln, Mahatma Gandhi. Alright? If all these people look like they're not in your generation, how about Bill Clinton? Was an orphan. So, I just read this to you so that you know, all right, this idea of, okay, you need all the help from without. But you see, it is not usually the case. In fact, many times it is not the case. All the idea of, well, I didn't come from a, you know, there are two views to me, you know, quote and unquote now, making it in life, quote and unquote. The first view is it posits that you have to come from a wealthy home. That means there's some sort of inheritance somewhere for you. Maybe your parent left you some kind of inheritance. And that's true. That's correct. But you see, I would like to announce to you, it is not much more about what is left for the next generation, but what is left in them. Because if what is left for them is so much than what is left in them, they will squander what is left for them. Look, if you take a foolish person and put him in this house full of gold, he will squander it. I mean, we are in this nation where a major bank that is among the mainstream banks was lost just to the second generation. The father spent decades building a banking system. And while the father was still alive, he handed over to him just to be in charge of the bank. And in a few years, the bank went spiral and got sold off. So you want to ask yourself, the people that are in the limelight of industries today, many of them, they will tell you that from average homes. So question I want to ask you is, where are the children of the rich people during their time? You didn't get the point. Now, see, if most over 80% of people who are commanding results in their different industries, in different spheres of endeavor, tell you, there was in this country a president once say, I had no shoes. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Your present president is from Daura, alright? So, in my own field, in my own industry, religion, because, listen, I am the one who is in religion, alright? You are the ones who are in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? In my own industry, religion, a man that you want to look up to in Africa, not even in Africa, in the world, his name is Pastor E. Adeboye. This man, he was living in Ifewara. So I want to ask myself, does it mean that he has two heads? Now, don't tell me God has a special... Look, listen. I've grown, forget, don't tell me that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so there is no, God is no respecter of persons. And look, gone are those days when I used to think that maybe if I was a doctor, maybe if I was an engineer, let me tell you something, look up, look, see, listen. There are poor people in all professions of the earth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are poor politicians. I have one in my extended family. He's been doing politics for decades. So there are poor doctors. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I know doctors that I can literally feed. Doctors. So don't attribute this thing to anything external. That's where I want to begin from. Alright? So, Pastor, how do you pull me out of these things? How do I? Well, I'm not pulling you out. I'm just going to show you God's word. And that's why my primary prayer is that, that you listen with your heart as I do this seminar with you, this teaching with you. So the first step, I'm just going to share with you three steps and then we'll close. It's very simple, but I want you to pay serious attention to this thing. Hallelujah. Alright, the first step to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I hope you understand the idiom now. To pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That means we are trying to connect a situation where we are advising that, listen, you can literally get yourself afloat without external help. Because, the first thing you have to get clear is that you must... Listen hard. You must be convinced that you have something inside you stronger than the environment, stronger than the harsh environment. Listen, there is something called the law of inner sabotage, that the moment there is any form of preconceived idea in your subconscious that tells you that you are not going to amount to anything, you don't have anything within you, look, it makes no difference what it's in the external, you still end up becoming the conviction of your heart. So you must first be convinced, that's the first step there. You must first be convinced that you have something inside you stronger than the harsh environment. You know, when people say things like, well, if I go to America, if I go to, UK, where there are, better environment for me to grow my business. Listen. You also have to know that in those environments where you have things in place, good environment for you to grow your business, you also have to know that that also means the higher the competition. Because that means everybody now has access to everything. There are people that have been in Silicon Valley for many years. They've just been, sending reports. I don't know if you have watched this movie, this old movie, Acrimony. Alright? You see the way the guy was making several trials. In the realm of science, in the field of science, the same thing. There is no field. In music, even in music production, there are a lot of people there that have been mixing sound, doing all these things for 50 years. They only end up becoming old DJs with stud. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? There are DJs. And there is DJ Khalid. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? I mean, tell me, what voice does Don Jazzy has? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, don't start thinking, it's not a church meeting, so leave me alone. I came here to preach freely. Allow me to freely preach. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right. Because sometimes, you know, the Bible says in the book of Romans 1 from verse 21, it says that from the visible things of the earth, all right, we can see the invisible God. That means from observing natural things and how things play out in the world, we can know the systems of things. Praise God. I said, praise God. You know, I was sitting down one time and I asked myself that, why do people dance to the recent worldly songs? Why? Because I don't see anything like this boy called Malia now. There's another one, you know, Bese. I'm just like, okay, why the rave? I later found out that people dance to the beats, not even the lyrics. So sometimes you have to understand these things and how things are spiral working in your environment. That's why there is no one size fits. That's why this teaching is more of principles to show you. So the first principle is you must listen up, look up. If this is the first thing you get and you get it right, it's a good place. It's going to serve as a springboard for your quantum leap. You have to be first convinced. Look. When I started this church by the grace of God, all right, I needed to be convinced that the authenticity of call on my life was not based on externalities. If not, I would have closed up this ministry a long time. Some of you can bear witness to this. I mean, where we started in the same environment, so harsh, we began this church when the Nigerian government announced depression and recession. That was when we began this church. January 1, 2017, the same year the country entered into recession. Who do you want to ask for money? When government policies, where financial policies is flying out there that people should learn to conserve and live conservatively. People were moving from you know, big houses to smaller houses. People were learning to conserve because the announcement has gone. And if Nigerian government announces that you are in recession, it means Nigeria is in depression. Because of politics. If Nigeria can tell you that they are minus one, that means that they are minus 120. The money was not out there. And that was when we began this church. We started Bible study in Abuja the very same year where there's coronavirus. Listen, look. I know what I'm teaching, okay? By experience, I can tell you. So it begins first by, you know, reading the power of externalities over your performance. That the sophistication of externalities does not determine and does not validate. Absence or presence of it does not validate that personal consciousness that you must have. Look, the moment you somewhere down the line believe that you are going to fail, guess what will happen? You will fail. So that must be the first step that you must answer. Be convinced, you know, I've noticed it's very common among religious people. It is easier for them to believe that maybe God didn't send them to a place. It is easier for them to believe that than to assess and, you know, do proper analysis to find out where is the missing link here that I'm not getting. I hope you know that it is not, I mean, statistics shows that only 4% of every business idea annually eventually works. Only 4%. Only 4%. I remember when I was going to meet with a particular man, I don't want to mention his name, founder of a particular company they wanted to start. They have a model, if I mention the name, you know, they have a model that looks like Uber. I met the guy, I said, this is your idea, I have it too. You know what he told me? He said, oh God, forget that thing. Everybody has idea. Idea flies in the air. It is who is doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that doing will only, listen, because why is this important? Is because even if you are doing and there's no conviction in your heart, you wake up one morning and you just say, you know what, I'm fed up, I'm tired. So there must be that first conviction in your heart. Because by natural observation, plants should not grow in desert. True? Come on, talk to me now. But when you're going to find plants like cactus, red pancake, desert lily, all right? In biology, we call them xerophytes. That means they have learned by adaptation, all right, how to thrive in the most harsh environments. I mean, by natural observation and natural judgment, even if animals will survive at all in the desert, it shouldn't be fishes. Talk to me now. But we have some fishes that are in the desert. We have lungfish. And these lungfish, what they do is they have learned to regulate their metabolism in such a way, alright, you know, in deserts, once in a while, water gets swept from the sea. So it forms some form of a little pond that fishes, and the moment the water evaporates, they have a way of going into the soil and hibernate. I remember when I was in secondary school, there was a time we were doing evolution, they spoke about aestivation and hibernation. You see, that means they can learn to, alright, you know, control their metabolic actions. So you have trees, alright, that in desert, they have thick leaves that does not allow and permit, you know, fast evapotranspiration. They have root that is tap root, not fibrous, that can reach down into the table water. You know what I mean by table water in geography? Amen? All right. So you have to realize that externalities notwithstanding, they must first, because this thing must be in it. If it's not there, it's not there. It's not a superficial thing. I mean, like the one I'm so very sure of, ministry. Ministry is not start, all right, you don't start ministry, for example, on social media, all right, by painting poster up and down. I've seen people who start that way, they collapse. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So that is the first step here. And you see, I want to dwell on this. Let me say this again. The first step to pulling yourself off by your bootstrap, okay, is to be convinced, first of all, that there is something inside you stronger than the harsh environment. As a matter of fact, the very fact that you find yourself in an harsh environment is even a greater proof that there is something in you. The first time I went to Sokoto, Sokoto is one of the extreme northwest in Nigeria, Africa. Alright, the first time I got there, I thought to myself, how are people, you know, surviving here? But guess what? People have been living there for decades. For centuries, and they've been living fine. I even felt fair people are going to be having sunburn. No fair person will be able to live there. Guess what? I saw a lot of fair people there, and it didn't get dark. Praise God forevermore. That's the first step in learning to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Number two is this. The second step is this. This one is very important, and I'm going to be ruffling a lot of shoulders. Because, you see, what this kind of seminar does to you is to open your mind. Alright? Okay. You know, one thing I noticed recently. You know, I'm not much of somebody who listens to worldly music. Alright? I don't listen to secular music much like that. But you know something I observed? During the coronavirus, there was a lady called Yemi Alade. She went viral by a particular song. And in that song, she featured Mama Kijo. All right? Many of you wouldn't know that kind of musician because what you know is Gbese, Asopo Toyi. Don't worry. All right? Now, what I realize is that The song she sang was actually the song that woman sang decades ago, with the same touch of African taste. So that means that many times if you dig back into history, this is where the invention comes into place. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because that song, when she sang it, she was, Agolo, 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 Agolo. Alright? When this one was going to sing her own, she just rebranded. Alright? So what I'm saying is sometimes you have to observe the environment, but this is very important next step you have to take when it comes to pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, is you have to realize and understand that wealth, listen carefully, listen hard. See, there is more that means to what I'm saying beyond the surface. So I want you to listen with your heart. God will communicate things. It's one of the prayers I've prayed, that God will communicate, all right, in absorbable, usable formats. Certain things you need to do, even as I give you these simple steps. Number two step is you have to understand that wealth is built through trade of product and services only. Don't miss the word only. Wealth is built through trade of product and services only. Nothing more, nothing less. Give me Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1 and verse 27. Let me start from there. And I'm going to explain what I just said to you now very quickly. Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them. Now, can we all read verse 28 together in unison, everybody? I want us to just read together. I want us to participate. 3, 2, go. And God blessed them. And God said unto them. What did he say to them? Be fruitful. And multiply. And replenish the earth. And subdue it. And hold on. So, having dominion was going to result from first being fruitful, that is to multiply, to replenish. Look. What does it mean to multiply? To trade. So, in other words, dominion or governance, as it were, is a tangible offshoot of trading. That means you cannot dominate, because when we talk about dominion many times, all right, notice the first immediate context here is dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. It's talking about earthly dominion. Dominion, all right, in Christendom, especially, among the Pentecostals, is always against demons. And that's true. But it's not only against demons and disease, all right? Dominion, all right, in all sphere of life. And, you know, it pains my heart. I was watching a documentary, and they were asking the richest man on earth presently. His name is Elon Musk, all right? And they were asking him, and he made a statement in that interview. It was a Christian blog that was having that interview, video interview with him. You know Elon Musk, and you know he's becoming popular on social media now with the recent development about Twitter. Now, he makes a statement that shocked me. He said, though I'm not a Christian, but I followed the principles of Jesus. In other words, the principles of Jesus has made him rich. Boy, that means there is so much we are yet to unravel. Well, the interesting thing is we have embraced the person of Jesus, and that gives us guarantee for heaven. But we need his principles as well to be relevant on earth, so that you will not be heavenly conscious, heavenly relevant, and earthly irrelevant. Let me tell you, look, listen. His personhood, his death, burial, and resurrection, all right, gives you hope of immortality. That one is non-debatable. Make no mistake about it. But guess what? Even how far you do, all right, on the radar and with the yardstick of eternity depends on your relevance here on earth for God. I told you before when I was doing the teaching on primacy of the workplace that there is no such thing as secular job for the believer. There's no such thing. Wherever you are, that is you. all right, serving God in that place. You know? All right, let me ask you a question. During coronavirus, okay, can somebody see, some people stopped, some people could not claim that they were serving God. Because the only definition of serving God to them is being a usher, an usher. You didn't get what I'm saying. Because you have to understand church both as an organism, as an organization. You also have to understand that, look, there is a system of things, all right, in serving God that is beyond sweeping the ground, that is very inclusive. Make no mistakes about it. But that until, I mean, I love the way Bill Johnson says it. Bill Johnson says, any gospel that is not workable in the marketplace does not work. That means if you say you claim that you have resurrection power, all right, you have no reason to explain away why you have to, you know, resign from an office because people are using juju there. What do you mean? You have no reason to be a Daniel in Babylon that will complain that, well, because you don't want to bow to the gods and you don't want to eat the food given to idol, and that's why, all right, you have to resign from being, you know, elected as one of the princes, as one of the governors. You have no excuse, because that is when you need to show power. I told you during 31st of last year that, you see, three things you must take serious in our generation. You must demonstrate power, intelligence, excellence. This is very important. You can't give excuse that the reason why, all right, you refuse to pick that job is because the man is ogboni, the man is an occultic person. What do you mean by that? That's when, because in the church, everybody is lights. Everybody just shining their lights. Light is sparking. And that's why there is so much envy. All right, go into the world there and shine the light. Show the power. Praise God forevermore. So you must understand that wealth is built via trade of product and service. All right, and dominion, yeah, I told you, all right, is a tangible offshoot of trading. Now let me prove that to you quickly in the scripture. Open to Matthew 25. Give to me. Let me show you. Let me allude to a particular scripture here. In Matthew 25 and verse 13. He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods." "And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now, I wish I had time to show you the word talent there. Literally means money. You can Google this. All right? Talent there means money. Don't start thinking of... Are you listening to what I'm saying here? All right? 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So in this verse 16. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded." Someone say traded. "Traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. 17. "And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Through trading, right? Good. Verse 19. He says, "But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Can you see his money here? Come on, can you see here? Aha. Verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." That means, all right, he came to reckon with them, to give account. I mean, they came to show their account. Verse 20. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.'" That means I have multiplied. Is that not the first? Listen, when people say, "Hey, we don't like prosperity, we don't like increase," I don't know. You are not a Christian, because it was God that started this thing. There are some pastors too who say, "Numbers does not matter." What do you mean by numbers does not matter? A God that intentionally wrote a whole book in the holy book, and that one book, he called it Numbers. What do you mean by God does not care about numbers? And before you start saying that is Old Testament. Excuse me, in the New Testament, in Act 2, in Act 4, the Bible says the church increased. The Bible even gave us 5,000 were added to the church. Somebody said, we don't have to evaluate whether people are increasing or not. We just keep preaching the word. Shut your trap. I mean, God in Genesis 1, when he was doing creation, he got to a place he was doing what you would call assessment. He was checking, listen, he was doing assessments of the work that he has done. So he looks at the job that he has done, day one, day two, he says, the Bible says, and he looked at it and he said it was good. Day two, he created something, he said it was good. Day three, he said it was good. He kept saying it was good. That means he was doing assessments. And he got to one that was not good. He said it's not good. I hope you know that. Come on, talk to me. I hope you know that God got to one place where he noticed that what he did, all right, was not good enough, and he made immediate plan. He says, and you know, he says, it is not good for a man to be alone. Can you see that? Then he says, I will make for him help meet suitable. True? Come and talk to me. True? So you must get off those stereotypic kind of religious thinking. Because he says multiply. Now, how do you multiply something? You trade with it. He now says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful by a few things. I will make thee ruler. Somebody say ruler. So, listen, the offshoot of rulership, of dominion, is trading. I mean, beg your pardon, trading rather, right? Dominance is the offshoot of trading. So when it says multiply, increase, alright, then lastly it says have dominion. That means the outward recognizable proof of dominance, the outward reckoning of dominance is the fruitfulness that we see, the multiplying. That is the proof of dominance. In fact, that's why I say we'll do Workers' Day Faith Seminar, because I don't want to go into that dimension today. The men who built America, how did it happen? Praise God forevermore. So the entire, look, let me tell you, because you can get emotional, the entire concept of nations today is about trade. Now, let me say something that will shock some of you here. I told you this is not a church teaching, alright? If you want to speak in tongues, Holy Ghost, alright? It's not today. You know what I'm talking about? This one is finance seminar, alright? Praise God forevermore. And I'm not in any way, I couldn't have spoken ill of spiritual things. That's the core. That is where it begins. Alright? And it's good to fall down that power, but my question is, when you fall down, you must come out with wisdom that will, you know, that will bring about a change, not just for you now, that you'll be a blessing to others. Alright, let me tell you, what you are calling Nigeria today, do you know, I hope you know that Nigeria was, because when I said that dominance, governance, alright, dominion is an offshoot of trade. That means that, look at this thing we just read now. Look at it. He says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few. I will make thee ruler over many things. Over nations. You see, rulership, alright, is the result of having been faithful with multiplication. Having traded with that which you have. Are you following me here today? Because, you see, nations that we call, alright, today, I told you, they are product of trade. Now you're talking about nations that are developed. Alright, you're talking about empires in centuries back. Listen, they were product of trade. Do you know Nigeria, they are calling Nigeria today? There was nothing like Nigeria. The whole land you call Nigeria today was owned by a company. I hope you know that Twitter is richer than Nigeria. Answer me now. I hope you know that there are companies that are 10 times richer than Nigeria, richer than countries, nations, all the Africa put together, all right, cannot buy when you join Steve Jobs and when you join Apple. Listen, because some of you, I have to open your mind by the Holy Ghost today. Because see, when we talk about trading here, listen, look, let me tell you, let me read something to you. See, Nigeria as a nation was owned by a company called the Royal Niger Company, who were simply into trade. They sold Nigeria for £865,000 in the late 19th century. I think 1894 or something. They sold Nigeria. They owned Nigeria. They were the one that sold what you call Nigeria today to the British people. It's not, so that's why it's not as if God drew a map and said, okay, he called this place Nigeria. Listen, you have to understand, this is all trade. Go and read stories of Jaja Okobo. What caused his death? It's painful in schools and they don't read history anymore. It was oil in the Delta areas that they were trading. This company, listen, in case you are wondering maybe what I'm cooking up, go online. This thing is in public domain. Nigeria was sold for £865,000 to the British people by a company. And you know, just like if you want to go into business, you have to have, you know, a structure, an office. What you call amalgamation 1914, it's not amalgamation. They just felt, you know what, this land is big, but the real productive side is the south. So what we'll do is let's join them together and let's put our headquarters in Lagos. So Lagos was their office. I hope you know Lagos was formerly the capital of Nigeria, what you call Nigeria. Because see, this thing, you have to, I'm telling you, it's all about trade. It's all about trade. You must trade. Product and services. Listen, by simple English, by what we call GDP, gross domestic product. Is that how they measure the wealth of a nation? What is the meaning of gross? Summation, right? Gross means addition, right? Talk to me now. So when they say they want to measure the wealth of a nation, they say GNP, gross national product. So what they are saying is that to measure the wealth of a nation, all right, is the gross of the productivity of individuals in that nation. Because gross means summation, national means nation, product means productivity. So our individual productivity put together is what makes this country rich. Nigeria, blessed country. So the idea of joining Northern Protectorate and Southern Protectorate in 1914 that you call amalgamation is all about trade. Hallelujah forevermore. I said hallelujah forevermore. You can Google this thing. This thing are in the public domain. Say after me, trade. Say it again. See, there's a spiritual implication to this thing. Say after me, say trade. I want you to know that this number two step to pull yourself up by your bootstraps is to realize that wealth is created by a trade of some kind. Trade of product and service. People who went to America, the Espanols, all right, I told you in Workers' Day seminar, I'll show you this. The Espanols who went to America, all right, of course, they met what we call the traditional Americans, the Cherokees and all that. They met them there. People went to America. It was simply a business idea. They went to America. They found themselves in present-day Peru. They began to dig, you know, treasure from the heart there. They began to sell and, you know, transfer the money into the coffers of Spain. Then the Britons, too, wanted to go on the same expedition. Unfortunately, they missed the road and found themselves in the present-day South Carolina. Unfortunately, they found their large expanse of virgin land. And I don't want to talk about that today because I don't want to go off my teaching. That's the history of capitalization. When you say I need capital for my business, that's the history of capital. They got there and found out that the only thing that can grow here is cotton. Then they began to introduce the trade idea that, okay, you know what? Let's go and bring people from England to come and plow this land. Each person 250 acres When you are done plowing that land and you are productive, you will take 50 acres. And that 50 acres out of 250 acres belongs to you and your generation forever. But as they, can you see trade there? And as they began to trade, they got to a place where the land was terrible. For information, when I say people sold Nigeria, some of you are looking at me, they are still in business. They've changed their name to Unilever. Nadieva. Because when I mentioned that company, people are like, maybe something in the abstract. Their name now is called Unilever. They owned Nigeria before. They sold it to the British. Go and do your research. Alright, so when they got to this place, and then they got to a place where the land was hard to till. Some of them have been to Africa and they've seen the black man with chest big, having five wives, strong, that he can actually walk on hard soil. Listen, that's what, I just told you in 2 minutes the history of slave trade. Do you see slave trade? It's slavery, but it's trade. What, listen, somebody say trade. If you are not selling anything, you're not selling any, you're not producing any product, you're not selling any service, you can't be wealthy. You cannot. It's, what they did is they came to Africa and then they began to give your monarchs, your kings, they began to give them mirror, things that are perishable, but because they gave them mirror to pack you. Not you anyway, our ancestors. And put this thing in their neck and brought them. That was how they got them to America. That's how you see blacks in the US. They got them, our ancestors that were there. Alright? It was our great grandparents that were there. They were the ones that began to till the land as slaves. So it's not as if God woke up one morning and said, okay, this is the map now. This is called United States of America. No. See, the idea of nations is trade. Somebody say trade. You have to trade. See, look, and there is nobody in this ministry that will be poor. You must trade. So they brought slaves from Africa. I mean, and it's all about trade. Look up. The entire colonization of the world through slave trade was a business idea. Look, let me tell you, thank God, and God knows how to walk through natural things. Christianity primarily sometimes majorly came to Africa through slave trade, through trade. Now the year back, because the idea was that if they came to Africa, they have to force them to learn how to pray to their own God. Though God had the way of walking through that one too. I told you this is not a church meeting. I hope you are getting to what I'm saying. Because there's a way you can feel the power of God, alright? All the missionaries, they love Africa. That's why they brought the gospel. Listen, calm down, alright? It's not true. Am I in any way saying that we should reject their religion? I mean, and that's why I don't buy. It is part of inferiority complex that causes all this, black Jesus and black church movement, black life matter. It's nonsense. There is no black Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. Simple as it. There is no, you don't have to start saying, but Jesus went to Africa. He was in Egypt. The first time, leave all those are, expression of frustration and, Oprah Winfrey says the greatest deterrent, alright, to sexism and racism is success. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I was there when I was in school. I was watching Jack Bauer. I was watching the movie. They were playing out what could have happened that the black man would not be president. But guess what? He became. And we saw the first female black woman there in the White House, Michelle Obama. See, listen, I want to tell you something. Look up. Trade. That is the concept of the entire, I told you, the entire colonization of the world is the idea of trade. And that's how they brought religion, Christianity. Trade. You have to understand that everything, alright, about pulling yourself up by your bootstrap first begins with understanding that there is something in you, irrespective of the harsh condition. Number two is that you must understand that wealth creation is primarily through trade of products and services. And what is trade simply means ability to get the best out of what you have through the means of fair exchange. I come again. I say trade is the ability to get the best out of what you have through the means of fair exchange. That means you leave the person happier while you are wealthier. I mean, if you walk into Apple store right now, you go to Jabi Lake Mall, alright, you walk into any of the shops and you drop, bam, 650K, iPhone, whatever. You leave there happy, right? But you know what? Apple just got richer. That's trade. So trade is the ability to get the best out of what you have through the means of fair exchange. Alright, let me use an example that is not good to use, but okay, don't let me even use it because, alright, there are church people here and I want to be very careful. Amen. So trade is about desiring and exchanging greater value for what you have. Look up. Let me tell you something. Listen. All this, I've told you before that there are only two ways to be wealthy, right? I've told you before, that was in a teaching I did, was it last year? I told you that it's only by either you create a value, you invent a value, or you what? You add value. That means you innovate. Let me now tell you one more thing, though. You can be an innovator and be poor. Now, listen, let me show you something. I want to do something to you. See, research shows that Chinese are the ones who discovered ink. Let me even start by this. Hold on. Who discovered sachet water? We may not have documentation, but as far as I know, when I was small in the 90s, it is those mama that used to put water inside nylon. They were the one that had that idea. I hope you know that. Before this filter company now hijacked. Listen, I want to do something to you. Look. Research shows that the Chinese are the ones who discovered ink, printing press, wheelbarrow, football. In fact, they were the first to build massive ships on the sea. Chinese. So that they are the innovator or the inventor does not make them rich. I mean, I googled this morning, alright? English Premier League. I don't watch football. I don't even know one footballer's name. And I'm not shy to say this. And I'm a man. The same way there are guests who don't like pink. Alright? So don't make me feel. Anyway, and my woman likes it like that. Nothing concerning anybody. Nothing concerning anybody. My own is to preach to you and make you become God, children of God. Are we? Let me do my job. Leave me alone. Amen. Alright, English Premier League football generates £7.6 billion to the United Kingdom in the year 2019/2020, despite the lockdown. Football alone, not the whole sport though, £7.6 billion. That was what they generated in the United Kingdom in 2019/2020. Despite the 3 months of suspension because of Corona. English Premier League. They were not the inventors. So I've told you before that inventing, all right, is, listen, what's the difference? They were the trader. They were the trader. I hope you know football is business. If you don't know, even that I don't watch football, I know. It's business. So is all the sports. All this boxing. That is somebody buying. Alright, say, I will buy Alex Ferguson. Sorry, is Alex Ferguson a footballer? I hope I don't go and gaff here. Alright, I will buy Pele. I will buy this. Alright, you don't understand. Sometimes some of you just say, they buy one person £2 million. That guy. Forget, it's business. It's buying the guy to play so that they will win. Alright? It's business. It's trade. So they invented China. They invented ink. They invented printing press. They invented wheelbarrow. They invented football. In fact, they were the ones that started building massive ships. And you know what the Chinese did when they built their massive ships? They built massive ships. And what they did was they toured around the world, showing how powerful they were. And they even captured some animals. They had fleets. I mean, imagine going on 28,000 people with fleet of ships. All these Chinese movies you see all those, their kingdoms, they've been brilliant for years. They were very social thinkers, smart for many years, with good documentations. They built these ships, alright, and what they did was that they went around, alright, so that, you can sit down. Amen. Alright, they went, call those people outside too, okay? Alright, they built massive ships and they turned around, alright, showing how powerful they were, and they even captured animals like, you know, giraffe and, you know, into the ship. They came home to exhibit the giraffes and all those elephants. But it was Vasco da Gama. I hope you've heard that name before. The man it was Vasco da Gama, the first European to get into India. Took the same, in fact, this time around, a smaller ship than the bigger ones that they went with. Who is a Portuguese, an European guy? He's an European explorer. All right? He was the one that thought of trade. Listen, that's the difference between a trader and... See, look, a trader does not want to impress you. So the Chinese guys, what they did was they went all around the world just to show how powerful they are. They got all the giraffe, all right, put all the stuffs, all right, and then they brought it, and then they now put it in expedition, all right, exhibition, beg your pardon, all right. But this Portuguese explorer, he was thinking of trade. Being the first European to reach India by sea, began to sell spices. He was the first European to get to India. He began to sell spices. The same ship that Chinese used to tour everywhere to impress sense of superiority to others. A trader by the name Vasco da Gama enters into India, saw spices as a trade commodity. So a trader is not out there to impress you, but to drive values. Alright, to drive values. Alright, I'm a co-founder of a company, alright, and the United States people, they wanted to come and check our office in Lagos. I told you this is not a church program. I'm not preaching as a pastor. Now they hear me now. Alright, so we are doing our operations online and all that. I'm telling you the backward thinking of Nigerians. So let me tell you something. There is no other way to drive and command high net worth value chain in a viable and a durable economy without product and services. I'll come back again. There is no other way to drive and command high net worth value chain in a viable and a durable economy without product and services. It's about trade. That's the whole point I'm trying to make sense. And I hope this thing has sunk into your consciousness. Come on, talk to me. Somebody say trade. It's trade. Hello? Were you hearing me outside? Okay, good. I wanted to be sure you were following. Now, look at this. A professor, a Brazilian professor in Harvard, makes a statement. This was sometime over 10 years ago. And I heard a pastor quoting him say this. He said, the reason why the Western world, pay attention to this, the reason why the Western world is undergoing financial crisis is because countries have stopped producing at competitive prices enough products and services that the rest of the world wants. Now circumventing the ideal, they created what they call credit democracy. In other words, using money to make money because of their bankruptcy of product of service and products. Don't forget where I began from. That the only way to get wealthy is how? Trade of what? Product and what I say is trade. The ability to do what? To get the best out of what you have through what? Through the means of fair exchange. That means fair exchange. And sometimes, forgive me, it's not fair. I told you this is not a church meeting. Through the means of fair exchange. So the person gets happier, but you get wealthier. You walk into Samsung office, you buy iPad, you are happy, but Samsung gets richer. Do you understand? That ability there is what we call trade. The ability to see that, you know, to convert that thing in you, all right? And listen, so here, the Western world went into, I hope you know, see, look, let me tell you something that will shock you. This is finance meeting. Listen. Or this is where all this issue of stock. Are you following what I'm saying? Stock, forex, is the way of circumventing bankruptcy of productivity in the marketplace. Look, what information I just gave you. You sweat to get it. Listen. I want to learn forex. All these cryptocurrencies. Listen. Look up. If they were all right, a circumvented invention of failure to meet the needed product and services needed to be traded for value. So what they did was they circumvent the ideal. And what is the ideal? Trade. Trade of service and product. I mean, that was what built the Western economy. You talk about Henry Ford. You talk about, listen to me, Henry Ford. You talk about Dale Carnegie, the guy that first built the steel, steel bridge for the first time, carbon and iron, for the first time. And one of the ways they used in those days, they put elephants, and you know, elephants is the most brilliant animal. So they put elephants on that steel bridge. If the elephant crosses it, it's okay. If the elephant looks at it and refuses to cross and turns back, that means the road is not good. Is the most brilliant animal. If elephants are going in packs like this, if 20 of them are passing and you shoot at one, you kill one and they escaped, they know you, they know your house. A week later, they will come back and scatter everything in your house. Listen, they will not miss you that did them that evil. It's the most brilliant animal. That was what they used. That was what Dale Carnegie used. That's what they used those days. So these guys produce products. The railway, John D. Rockefeller, the man who built America, that was how. It was product and service. It was when they could not meet the demand of the other world that they now circumvented and moved into what they created as credit democracy. And that's what you call, in other words, using money to make money. And guess what? It's along the line, it's spiraled down and collapsed. You know what happened in 2009 now? The Western economy crashed. It was credit democracy. So, making money out of money, but the economy itself was built on product and service. Let me tell you, even the stock that people are talking about, that, all right, because they are all product of this credit democracy. Listen, what is stock? What is share? See, don't anybody bamboozle you with English. See, share is, I have a service and a product, right? And I want you to have a share in it. Put some money inside, Abby. Yes, but it is not the money that started it in the first place. So, the real... do you get what I'm saying? Yes, so, the real thing, fulcrum upon which the whole business idea and the whole business enterprise runs is on products and services. Like I told you, a trader is not all about just superficial. I mean, I don't know. When Jeff Bezos, all right, Amazon, does Amazon have office all over Africa? He's online. So they are not trying to impress you by putting up a bogus, all right, so stuff and all that. All right. When you see people who live that way, all right, you know that they are suffering an attack of, you know, they are suffering the attack of self-image attack. That's what they are suffering from. Low self-esteem. And that was the problem with the Chinese, like I told you. They went around touring everywhere to show that they are superior to everybody, all right? But one young guy who is a Portuguese, an European smart guy, he took a smaller ship than the one they were even using, and he understood that, look, spies here, India, money in my pocket. And some of you are living in some places in this country where some things are in abundance. Look. Listen, the key to major, or I was talking to a friend of mine who was trying to pursue a PhD in economics in the US. All right, where money is transport economics in the flow of economy. Most times. It's transport economics. That's why you have to open your eyes and heart as I'm teaching, because see, God is dropping ideas in people's hearts. I say God is dropping ideas in your hearts. Stop thinking about using money to make money. Think about product and services. I put 20K in your account. 2 months later, you give me... Forget. Don't start with that. Look, when you... Look, let me tell you. All right? This finance seminar. All right? It's just like... Look, when you build something, you too, you start selling shares. Tell people, yeah, come and put money in my... Are you listening to what I'm saying here? And they will put it under condition. You will be smart. You get a lawyer to ensure that they draft something that will not put you in trouble, so that if the thing crash, you will not bear the risk alone, because it will crash. It's not a curse. Listen to me. Because credit them. Look up now. I told you. I'm telling you strong stuff here. Listen, making money out of money, but the economy itself was built on product and services. Individuals like Henry Ford, Dale Carnegie, Steve Jobs, all right, have you seen movies, and then after the movies, they will say, this is the property of something, 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 right? Fox, right? And stuff like that. So when you think of property, what do you think? You think of having land? No, property can be portable. So a church member, all right, had a little crisis over the weekend, and I asked him. So, one of the things he said, all right, I spoke with the parent. The parent called me. Okay, so when you were moving out, what happened? He said, "Well, I have gone to the computer to delete all my intelligent property." I said, "This boy has sense." It's called intelligent property. Abi, you don't know that devotionals that we are posting on Facebook is intelligent property. Watch out. And very soon, our website, by the time we put all those in our website, we are going to patent it. If anybody copy it and turn into them, we are going to sue them. You don't know. Abi, you don't know that I wake up in the morning sweating, my brain is sweating, right? You think it's moi moi? When you sit down, you pray in tongues, and then you get a song, and you sing, and somebody goes and releases it, you don't know that you can sue them? So it's property. Of course, it extends to physical properties too. In fact, that's why I would do on May Day seminar, I'll be sharing some powerful things with you on that. And let me just give you a tip of it since you came. All right? Listen. Nigeria, we most likely never break. And I'll tell you why. Should I tell you why? Dangote will not open his eyes and let you break this country. I've told you that the idea of nation is trade. You didn't get what I'm saying. Do you know why we don't let this place break? Because just leave that for that. See, when economy started, the idea was you must have a property. And the reason, look, the idea of credit. The word credit itself simply means trust. It's not really credit like buying something on credit. The real etymology of that word is trust. So what they are doing is, Because look, there are some business ideas that you cannot give a collateral for. If you have a business of $200 billion, what kind of collateral do you want to give for that one? Do you want to sell the whole world? Even the whole world doesn't have that kind of, do you get what I'm saying? So it has to be on trust. That's why they call it credit. So the idea of looking for collateral is because bank does not trust you. See, let me tell you, from the beginning, the way it is working is, before they will give you a political power, don't forget where we began from. It is the dominion there starts from trading. I want you to open your ears and your spirit as I'm talking. The dominion is actually an offshoot of trading. That you have multiplied things. Just come now, I'll make you rulers over things. So the idea is, if you don't own a landed property, they will not give you a good position in politics. Why? Because they know that if you have landed properties and you have investment in a place, you will not want that place to break. You will not want war to happen. You want to maintain order. Are you following? You even want to do CSR. All right, I was talking to a business mogul in Lekki 2 weeks ago, and he was telling me that, because now my religious pastor mind, I was like, wow, social person is doing fine. Look at what he's doing for the community, all right? He's building bridge, another. He says, man of God, forget that thing. I say, what do you mean? String, he says, shut up, man of God. I say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? He says, calm down, let me explain to you. If Dangote does a bridge right now, you will call it CSR. All right, many of you know CSR simply means corporate social responsibility. All right, now you will call it CSR, but in reality, he's thinking that his train or his trucks, it has reduced the problem of having issues on the road, and that can cost him billions. Then, by creating this thing now, it creates an environment for many people to come in and start trading, and they will start buying his products. So he makes money from doing that, and he still gets the social capital from government. Government will now say, Dangote built, all right. You know what the social capital now? That means trust people have in you because of your character. I'm coming to that. Listen, there are some business you will start. Look, when you want to put yourself by your bootstraps, let me just say this. In starting out in life, look, there is nobody that does not have capital. Your problem is the capital you need for the business in your head is the type that you cannot get early. And let me tell you, all right, a professor once said, nobody, and the person I'm talking about who said this, is the one that is the venture capitalist that actually, all right, invested into Alibaba. He made a statement, oh boy. He said, nobody, there are only 3 set of people that can finance idea. There are only 3 set of people that can finance idea when it is still in an idea, because idea is cheap. There are only 3 people. He says, number 1, friends. Number 2, family. Number 3, church. And he did not even mention church. He says, fools. Which are church? He says, because venture capitalists, majorly, they will want to invest, and I've seen this firsthand as a startup person in agri-tech. I was talking to somebody who said, I don't finance startups. I don't finance startups. And I don't blame him. His hand has been burnt. And he financed a friend of mine with 103 million naira. Why? I asked my friend, how did you make it? He said, for the past 4 years, he has been talking to him, and even when he went to the U.S., he had his Mandela Fellow, Yali. Even when he came and he sold his idea to the U.S., you know, they published him and all that, he still did not answer him since 2017. He says it was 2022. He now called him and said, come, let's have a coffee in Lekki. He asked him, what is the difference? He says, I have watched your track record. In other words, there are the real big, listen, you can start big, start small and think global. But while you are still at that small level, be faithful. Listen, people are watching you. Look, in other words, there are those who have the money who will not help you. Thus said the Lord. Yes. they will not help you until they can see a track record over the years of consistency. You didn't hear what I just said. The only people that will help you when you are starting are family. Because let me tell you, and what those family are investing in is not really in the idea. It is your social capital that attracts it. That means they are saying, he's a good boy. He doesn't steal. So they are investing in the emotional perception of your value. Not in the, because most of those people, family and friends, they don't even know the meaning of the idea. And I have an idea to talk in English. They don't know the meaning. They are just investing in you that, he's a good boy. He's a good girl. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And the only kind of business you can start out with that kind of support can only be within the capacity of your family and your friends. If you want to do a 1 billion project now, you can come to me. It's not a curse. I don't have 1 billion right now. I don't. If you like, let us pray and talk to you tomorrow. It's not there. So the only idea that your roomie can help you with are the ideas of, I want to start the water business and start selling pure water with 20K. Those are the kind of ideas. So it is when you are now serious with that one, we can see consistency that people who really have the money will say, I've watched you. Come, let's have a coffee meeting. That's what just happened to that my big friend. He just took him, said, let's have a coffee, and then he showed me the money. It's not, he showed me the money he sent to his account from the company of that guy. 103 million. So what they did is they created credit democracy to replace property owning democracy. That is the idea behind property. The idea behind property is they believe that if you have a property, you would do all your best to make sure that our unity is upheld. Like I just told you, people like Dangote will never wish Nigeria to break. Break? You know how many investments I have in Lagos? You want my company to collapse? They will not want Nigeria to break. So forget all this fighting. They will find solution to it when a good president that has the willpower and is young enough to, all those things will stop. Nigeria will be peaceful. Say aloud, amen. Because the whole idea is what? Trade. You know how you get it. It's trade. I just told you that Nigeria was owned by a company that sold it to the British people. Do you know the British people actually colonized many nations? They were just going around the world looking for, what they were doing is they were looking for opportunities to trade. So when they joined the North and the South, and they call it Nigeria, I'm a Ghanaian, their idea was, the major productive place was the South. There's really nothing much in the North. So what they did is they just joined them. You know what? They made Lagos capital. Because you need structure if you are doing business. So they are doing business. That's why they're sending a lot of money from Nigeria, making oil. All those Jaja Okpobo that wanted to circumvent, they killed them, they poisoned them with tea. Go and read this tree. Haven't you read about warlords? It's all politics with business, and it's all centered on trade. So if you're not thinking trade in this life, you cannot be rich. Thus hear the Lord. If you like, we're going to church every day. I told you this is not a church meeting, so don't be angry with me. Go to church every morning. I told somebody who was trying to, you know, sell a particular pastor to me, who is contesting for prayer. I said, I'm a pastor. Leave me. Don't even get me angry. Don't try to bring religion here. Leave me. We don't need a Christian to rule this nation for it to be good. We don't need an imam to rule this nation. We don't need a pastor to rule this nation to make it good. We just need a good person. That good person cannot be a Christian that has been trained in a church on Christian ethics. Yeah. Beautiful. But you are not trying to sell religion, not me and you. But the Bible says, when the righteous rule, go and read in context. The righteous there means when a good man. Go to Germany. Those ones don't know Jesus. Things are working well. The money I will use to fly
from Lagos to Abuja is what I will use to fly from London to Germany. I know what I'm saying. Now they hear me, I fly. I know what I'm saying. In this country, things are not working because we don't have the right set of people there. And I'm still coming there because this is, I'm talking in the context of business now. Why did I even move to the area of governance? I don't want to say anything about that because I don't want to sound. So the idea of stock market, listen now, the idea of stock market shares are all offshoots of credit democracy. Did you see that? So the only way majorly to actually be wealthy is what?
Trade.
Answer me.
Trade.
The idea of nations, countries is what?
Trade.
Huh?
Trade.
I hope you know what is happening right now between Ukraine and Russia. What is the major thing happening there?
Trade.
Huh?
Trade.
Talk to me.
Trade.
I also thought that there's one guy. I don't want to mention his name. He's driving his yacht now up and down because he had plenty yacht. Because if the yacht stay one place, they will blow it up. Because he has businesses in those countries. You didn't get it. It's all about trade. So he has to be driving it around. Because if he stay one place too much and they send missile, boom, just blow. You know how much his yacht? It's not limousine, no. It's not keke napep. I hope you know. So they were not financing labor, and that is where the real problem is. They were not financing labor anymore, so it collapsed. And so the only way to get out of it is to get back into financing product and service trade. That means you are a tailor, alright, enroll, I'm coming there. There are things you can learn in Udemy that will get you better. One guy came to me when I went for a program with my spiritual father just last week. He came to me and said he can sew, and he showed me an example of things. I said, yeah, you can sew. I spoke to him about one of my pastor friends that wears good suits. I said, me, I don't wear good suits yet because I'm still blessed. All right? But all these nice suits you sew, 100K, 90K, I introduced him to a pastor friend of mine that is doing that. Do you get what I'm saying? Because I saw his work. Interestingly, we are in the same church, as in that pastor is in that church. You didn't get it. He is a member of that church, but you can't talk to that pastor. That pastor is my own friend. You know what I'm talking about? So I have to say, I have to mention it to him. So what I'm saying in essence is, look, that means if you have a skill of some kind, and that's where we are coming into the next, because somebody is wondering, but I don't seem to have a skill. Don't worry. That's why this meeting is finance seminar. All right? Say, all right, if it is whatever you can do, polish it. If it is products you can produce, be best at it. Listen, the world cannot snub excellence. The world cannot snub it. Even somebody who does not have knowledge of good things. When I went home last 2 weeks, all right, I saw hair. I saw hair. I've been seeing hair, but I saw hair. When I saw the hair, I called her. I said, come. This hair is fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay, fine. I don't know. It was when I posted it on her birthday that my madam said, do you know how much this hair we want? I said, no, we are me and my younger staff. I live under this roof now. Yes, I still give him 2,000 naira yesterday. I just like, boy, there's no way. When she told me the price of the watch, I say it's a lie. I call her, come, babe. My youngest, I say, come, how much is this air? When she mentioned the price, I say, never in my life will I give you 2K, or just 2K again. Never. Hey. So, I don't know about air, but when I saw quality, I know. Do you get what I'm saying? How many of you, you've been to several churches, all right? You grew up in different churches. You came to university, you attended this church, and you heard the word, and you say, now what be this, right? The thing is, when you see quality, you will know. You will know. All right? You will know. So there must be products and services from the heart of men. That's the point that we're about to round off now. There must be products and services from the heart of men that people are ready to deal with. That is the way to wealth creation. Product and services. That's the whole idea. I know somebody, alright, in this country, alright, not somebody, I know somebody that was telling me that there is somebody she knows. The person earns $1,500 every month from the comfort of her room. And it's a legal business. She just renders services, alright, online. And she gets paid in dollars. Now, that $1,500, I hope you know how much that is. All those people you see wearing tie up and down in the banks, some of them, they are earning 70. There was one guy I saw in Lagos last week, how much are you earning 70? And you do overnight, come tired, 70, wear tie, look, I say, ha. It's not the people you saw on tie. None of them in that vehicle that you see is a loaned vehicle. Removing it from their salary is small, small. Pay small, small. What you see in developed countries, credit system, they are all product of this thing. They created a credit democracy. So you see people, listen, you see people in the United States, people living in developed countries, alright, they are having SUV walking about, they are paying for that vehicle. They use credit card. Listen, credit, trust. The supplier trusted that where they are working, in the next 15 years, they will be able to pay it back. So many of you are here, you thinking you're broke, you're actually rich, you don't know. Because the problem is just that we live in a cash and carry economy. You know, get money, you know, they buy. And guess what? It is good to some extent. Than to be living in houses. I hope you know, a friend was telling me in a developed country that he is paying $1,500 every month for accommodation. How many of you have people in the US or UK? Alright, when you ask them how much do they pay for accommodation? They pay per month. Is any one of them telling you they are paying $200? $100? Their 1 month for accommodation will give you correct house in Abuja. I hope you know if you pay 1,005, if you translate it to Nigerian Naira, I hope you know that is over ₦1 million. Eh? You'll get a house in Sonive. For the whole year. I hope you know that. That's what those your friends and your family members in the US are paying per month for house. But guess what? They will make the money. So it's all about, so that is the system they are operating, and it is bound to collapse. That's why, you see, this message is not prosperity message in the Pentecostals, alright, where you do carrot and stick approach to get money from God. I'm sharing with you something. Listen, wealth creation is about principles. Do you understand? So you have to realize that, number one, that you have something in you, alright, that is superior to your environment, no matter how harsh it is. Number two, you have to understand this idea of trade. I don't mind spending the old days talking about this trade thing. It's very important. Trade. So there must be, I repeat, product and services from the heart of men that people can and are ready to deal with. So you must have it. So question is, how do I unpack, all right, this latent potential? That is step three. These products and services that must come from the heart of men to generate wealth, how do I unpack it? Because the first thing I began by telling you is that there is something in you. Say, there is something in me. You have it in you. It's there. You must first believe that. Listen, failure to believe this is failure to be wealthy. And when I'm talking about wealth, I'm not talking about just having enough peanuts to be able to pay your school fees, alright? I'm talking about peanut wealth here, where you just be able to feed yourself, have a husband, alright, have a car, alright? You know, that's not what I'm talking about. If what you are thinking about is consumption, if your cogitation is still on the consumption level, this seminar is not for you. But if you are thinking about being a blessing, so how do you unpack the latent potential from within you? I'll give me the scripture. Proverbs 13 and verse 23. I'm rounding off now. I have just 3 pages. I'm done. But have you learned something? Proverbs 13 and verse 23. It says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He says, much food. Alright, much food. Zara, that's the only scripture I want. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. Now, doesn't this look like an oxymoron? That phrase. Look at the first phrase. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. But he's poor. Yet there is more food in his tillage. Now he says, but there is that is destroyed for want. Now some translation says judgment there means maybe, alright, wickedness and that. But, alright, I'd like to translate this judgment here as, go back to my King James. Alright, this one says, without injustice, it is swept away. Alright, discernment. So there is much food in the tillage of the poor, but what? No discernment. Lack for want of. He says it's destroyed for want of judgment. No discernment. He can't discern to see that much food. Did you get what I'm saying? He says much food is in the tillage of the poor. Because he wouldn't be poor if he had discernment to know that there is much food in his tillage. So stop saying that I don't think I've tried to say is a lie. I just began by showing you how that seraphite survive desert lands. How lungfish and mudfish survive relative humid air environments. So, what do you do? What do you lack, therefore? Discernment. That's what you lack. That's what you lack. Discernment. And let me tell you, sometimes, sometimes you just need to be in good association. You just need to be in good association of people that will tell you can do this. You just never can tell how much you can do until you get the right coach. Even in spiritual growth, that's why we have church. Haven't you seen that a child can be scoring 0-0? How many of you have experienced this, that you were failing in a particular school until your parents changed you to another school and then you brightened up? How many of you ever had such experience? Can you say that? Can you say that? Why? I tell you, what changed? The teacher. Yes. Praise God. So there is food in your tillage. So what you need is discernment. So don't say, I don't have anything and there's nothing good. It's not true. It's not true. Let's look at Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Because that discernment, alright, we're talking about spiritual something here. Because we are spiritual people. He says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from high. Alright, this is a prophetic, alright, statement about post-resurrection. And the wilderness be a fruitful field. And the fruitful field be what? Counted for forest. You see, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Then, the word and is supposed to be then. In other words, what looks so barren as it were to you right now, if you only have discernment to see. So your prayer, therefore, will not be God give me money. Your prayer will be God open my eyes to see. Because, listen, we're talking about how to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You don't need external effort to start with at that stage. What you need primarily is discernment. Open to Genesis 21. Let me show you something here. Genesis 21 verse 15. This is why we pray. This is why we pray. Genesis 21 verse 15. He says, and the water was spent. Now, you know the situation here, right? All right. Hagar had a baby for Abraham. Abraham has sent her away. Look at what happened. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. That means she put the child because water is finished to give the baby. Are you following me? I need your attention. Are you following, church? Say loud amen.
Amen.
All right. And she went and sat her down over against a good way off, as it were a bough shoot short. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Now, do you get the situation here? Abraham sent her away with the baby. Now the baby is crying. No more water. Water has finished from the water bottle. Now the child is crying and of course will die. So as she will not see the death of the baby, she dropped the baby somewhere and looked away from the baby and began to cry because she does not want, she's waiting for the baby to die now. Now, verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. Oh, so much to unravel here, but not for today. And the angel of God, now look at what happened. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God had heard the voice of the lad. So the lad cried out. All right, he has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now look at what's happened. And in response to the voice of the lad that God has heard, which you can liken to prayer. Are you listening to me? Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Listen, she saw. God, it's not like God created. She saw. That means there was a well there all the while, but she never saw it. So it turns out that what you need, all right, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, then the wilderness will become what? A fruitful place. That means when you, what you will go out there in the place of prayer, all right, where you assume a form of, you know, a meditative state of rest is, you would, in that meditative state of rest, all right, bring out what is within. Where God will open your eyes to see possibilities in the spirit. You know, the Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine. I wish I can give it to you in the Greek context. What he's saying there is, all right, the experience of the supernatural in your life is directly proportional, all right, to the supernatural psychology of your intellect. That means how much of alignment of your intellect is to the power of God, to the invisible nature of God at work in you, to the Spirit of God within you, open you up there to ideas. Because people in the occult world, all right, they have learned these things. You know, somebody was telling me that Craig David, the 7-8 song of Craig David, you know those song? Every of his song were it. They said, he said he got it through 30 days fast. The same thing, I mean, people will tell you, listen, in chemistry, one of the major puzzles in chemistry that was solved by a man who had the dream. This thing is, look up, listen. The physical is very true, is actually dependent on the influence of the metaphysical. I don't want to say spiritual as well because anybody can hear this tape and be blessed. Alright? I mean, the man who got the structure for benzene, he had a dream. Chemistry students, you know, you remember we were taught. He had a dream, you remember, right? Chemistry. He had a dream that two monkeys, oh, their tail was touching each other opposite side. That was how he got the structure. And if you are a chemistry or biochemistry student, you know structure is a big deal in biochemistry. I mean, structure can spoil everything. Listen, the protein you are eating that is building your body today is the 90% of its usefulness is on structure. In fact, 99.9% of it is on structure. That's what we call denaturation in chemistry. When you eat protein to a high degree temperature, it will lose its shape, and that makes it useless. I mean, these are peptides, but you get what I'm saying. Because some people are already hungry now. They didn't do science. I did not send you. Solomon & Co. Economics. You can't get this one. You have to go and read it. Amen. It's all structure. So, until God opens your eyes, and you see, you engage, because you see, look up, the spirit man naturally, I'm not even talking about the born again spirit now, the spirit man naturally has endless possibilities. That's why you can see unbelievers do great things. You know, I was reading about Elon Musk, because I'm so intrigued about that guy. Who is this guy? One, he calmed my nerves when I heard him said he follows the principles of Jesus. Two, when I read about his beginning in life, he made the statement that he's actually an Asperger patient. You know Asperger, alright? And that means, and the only way he consoled himself growing up, alright, having Asperger syndrome, was the only way he consoled himself, alright, to stay away from people because he feels intimidated or somehow, I don't know how to explain it, alright? You know, from other people, was to get himself in a room and play with games. In playing with games, all right, because people thought he was a mad guy because people feel he thinks differently. He's a maverick. So what he did eventually was that was how he developed, he developed this likeness for computer and computing. That was how he started his computing business and began to write code as a young. I mean, he began to do computer engineering and all that. He began his company with Zip2. And later on eBay, he sold it later to eBay. Then he went into his rocket science stuff, SpaceX, the company he owns right now, and now Tesla. It has been proven that every industry that guy entered, he disrupted the place with ideas. And what is the wisdom there? I'm happy to hear him say he learned the principle of Jesus. And I'm trying to read through what are those principles. I found out one, because second, my principle. I said, we will dig it. We have received the person of Jesus. We must get his principle too. Because we need money.
Yes, sir.
So these guys, they have learned. All these guys doing telepathy, mind travel, abstract projection. I was talking to a guy just yesterday. I was showing him. All right, these things. All these things that people in the world are taking advantage of. Listen. It's the fake of the original. You can remember how Jacob, all right, God saved him from his boss who changed his salary more than 10 times. He wasn't scaling it up, he was scaling down. You saw the wisdom he used. He took the animal. He says, you know what? This is the point now. Any animal that has spots, all right? Any animal that has spots, is yours. The one that does not have spots is mine. And genetically, that is impossible because the animals, they have spots. You know what he did now? He took a tree, a wood that has spots. He put it in the water that they were drinking, the animals were drinking. He put it on the ground that the animals were having sex. I told you it's not a church meeting, so let me free. Alright? So that as they were having sex, they were seeing those spots. As they were drinking water, they were seeing those spots. As they were eating, they were seeing those spots. Those animals gave birth to spotted animals. And that was how his own increased. So the boss was like, I don't understand. This is impossible. Naturally, all the animals should not be spotted. Listen, it's a principle of meditation. That as everything they are doing, they are seeing. Listen, if you focus on identity, you will produce.
Yeah.
That you begin to see. Look, this is one of the secrets of the Jewish people, alright? They write the law on their doormouth. They write the law. Didn't you see the charging order Moses gave them in Deuteronomy 6? He says, this law must be your hand wrinklets. Must be in between your eyes. He told Joshua, he says, look, I have anointed you. I have told Moses, the servant of my servant, to lay hands on you for wisdom. But listen, there's one more thing left. This book of the law. In other words, this Torah. He says, look, Joshua 1:8, give it to me. He says, you will make your way successful. You. Not God. He's no longer in God's hand. Look at it. Joshua 1:8. He says, this book of the Lord should not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way. You will make your way prosperous, and then you'll be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. King James says, then thou shalt have good success. Am I communicating to somebody here?
Yes, sir.
Let me show you a Bible case, then we close. Open to 2 Kings 4. I want to read a case to you, because sometimes you can begin to, you know, let people help you, you know, alright, magnify your trouble and make you see impossibilities. But it's a lie. I began by showing you 15 prime ministers in Britain were orphans. What you would call lack of external help, so to speak. Huh? Napoleon, Mahatma Gandhi, Bill Clinton, they had no parents. So how were they able to scale off? You know, somebody was telling me that we were analyzing that movie, Acrimony, that Alaberry did. And the person was asking me that, she was asking me that, why is it that she has seen this thing happen again and again, that some ladies, alright, they will be in a relationship, they will be the one putting all the effort, doing everything, but the moment they just break up with the guy, the following week, the guy will just blow up. And then she'll not be saying, I wish I did not. I say, I tell you the problem. It's simple. A lady I was sharing with her 2 days ago in the U.S. were having a WhatsApp call. I told her, I said, I'll tell you, it's not a problem. It's very simple. It's explaining. There's a logic to it. Most times, what happens is the woman was putting up with him. Like in that movie you see, Acrimony. The woman was putting up to his failure, putting up with him for his failure. And somewhere in the guy's subconscious, he has something to fall back to. But the moment the woman who is his real, backbone left, he jacked up and said, you know what? There's no backup. It's like burning the gates, burning the bridge behind you. So a lot of you, somewhere in your mind, you still have the mindset that, if I could fail, I have somewhere, I have backup. Why it is good to have backup? What if you train your mind to say, look, I can do this thing the first time the best way and get the best results. So that's the principle. So the guy put in all the best, and then he blew up. And that other woman was now angry. You know the movie now. Want to go and burn the other one's wedding dress. He was just angry for nothing. Do you get the point? So what is the way forward? The way forward is, what that woman should have done in that relationship is, he should have at least, like there's a case that I'm handling now, relationship. I told the girl, you know what? Ask him for a break first. I didn't say break up. You know there's break up, there's break. Alright? But you don't have any of them in Jesus' name. I said, tell him that you want a break first. And stop sending support. Let him rise up as a man. But still chat with him once in a while. Tell him we still there. But I told how to do it. Be religious about it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of, I was about to talk this talk. Oh God, help us. Alright, you go to a nice place to eat. Say, I love you actually, but I've been praying. Make it spiritual. But I just feel the Spirit of God wants to deal with me on some things for a while. Just give him 3 months. Let him go and tie. Because, you know, some men, they have not left their home.
Yes, sir.
In their head.
Yes, sir.
It's just, it might be big, but it's one small baby trapped up in a old man's. You know what I'm saying? I told her, that's what you would do. Just tell him that I'm taking you out tomorrow as usual, because this case is a serious issue. He's the one, falling this car. Do everything. I say, tell him you are taking him out. Take him out, all right? Pay for the nice food, all right? When you are done eating, you say, so that actually, I've been praying. God has been dealing with me about something. But I say, do it. That's the way you do it. If you're not a smart pastor, see, all right? I say, do it. I've been praying about it, and God wants me to go deeper and just have time to just dwell in His presence more, and I want us to have a break, all right? Watch out for Him for the next 3 months. It was from Steve Harvey that I heard about that thing they call 90 days rule. That even if a guy asks you out, all right, first give him 90 days. And just watch. And see trend of things. So I said, give him 3 months and let's see if he will jack. If he's not still jacking himself up, he can never be jacked up again. So just leave him. After the 3 months and you don't see anything, just say, you know, the Lord has spoken to me actually when I was in the prayer that... Ladies, you better clap for me. I don't give you one act with that. All right. Guys, me and no verse. I don't break in our code. All right. Let's go. 2 Kings 4. Let me show you a situation here. 2 Kings 4 from verse 1. A Bible case, all right, to prove to you that what you need is not from without. It's from within. We're talking about wealth creation here. Now, I'll read to you 2 Kings 4 verse 1. I'll just give a commentary, then I'll share you 3 things, then we close. But have you been blessed already? Good. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. You all know this story, right? And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. Listen. You know our issue here. Our husband was a prophet. One of the sons of the prophet. The husband is dead. And she had 2 sons. The prophet was owing. So the husband did not only die. She's not only mourning now for losing her lover. But now she's about to lose her 2 sons. Because the creditors were coming. Because in those days, children are going to be, you know, the collateral to pay for the debts. They will put them in labor. Until they produce the money, their husband, and most times it's going to be life. Until those ones too will born children, and those children too will labor. Except if they are Jewish, then there's something they call the acceptable day of the Lord. They call it Jubilee, where they will say all the slaves should be freed, except on this occasion. If not, for life. In fact, once you buy a slave, as a Jewish man, if you buy a Gentile slave, you must circumcise that slave. That slave becomes automatically your subject. That's what happened to Hagar that we read earlier. It was Abraham's slave, I hope you know. Because that was the wife's mistress. Because sometimes it's good to show you some of the, cultural context to certain scriptures. Alright. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debts, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. Don't worry, I will do a teaching on this, but I don't want to take time on this, all right? We first talk about debt payment. Then you live on the rest. Do you understand? But that is not a teaching. But here's the point I want to make. Go back to verse 2. Verse 2. I just want to prove to you from this story, all right, that what you need is not something from without. It's from within. To pull yourself up by your bootstrap. In verse 2 it says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now you see, this is an unusual response from a man of God. Because you assume that when she came to see the pastor and she cries, you know, this one is going through, I'm going through. Alright? The natural thing that you expect was that, okay, the pastor will say, okay, take this money. Alright? Go and start something. Or let me pray for you. Abi now. But this man of God did not any of the two. He didn't pray for him, and he did not give him any money. So, but what she said, look at what she said. He says, tell me, what hast thou? This is the question that the man of God asked her. The man of God asked her two questions. What shall I do for you? That means, tell me in specifics. What is your problem? Then, he asked the second question. What do you have in your house? Brothers and sisters, you have something. Look, this is the beginning. You must know that you have something. He says, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid has nothing. Listen, you can come to that point and say, I don't have anything. But if you think, if you pause, if you meditate, if you get on that meditative posture of prayer, you realize you have something. Guess what? The problem is, that thing you have, all right, may not look smart compared to the anonymity of the problem you are facing. It makes no difference anyway. He says, and she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house except, that was save means except a pot of oil, that means a jar of oil. So it's not about what you need, it's about what you have. So a lot of problem that people see as problem is not problem. And I'm going to talk about this in our workers' day faith seminar. Listen, look, stop focusing on what you need, what you think you need. Now start looking at what do you have. I taught you this on when I was teaching you on responsibility of freedom. You must be able to answer those five questions. Who am I? Where am I from? Where am I going? What can I do? Can you see that? There's something in you. You are not without. See, nobody will win God in argument on the last day. Nobody. You have something. It could be the ability to write. It could be the ability to sing. I mean, look up. See, all the jobs, the first job I got, I started by writing devotionals, and I can speak well. I hope you know, if I want to tone up now, you think I just came back from, all right? If I want to talk well now, somebody say, but Pastor, that's been faking it now. No, that's not faking it. That's, all right, that's preparing for the job. When I was going to meet the man who has stayed in America all his life, who was going to interview me, he booked just a 10-minute talk with me and we spent 2 hours. He says he has never spoken to any Nigerian that has. And how much was he going to start paying me? 60K. But let me tell you, the experiences I learned with him in that 1 year of working with that man was what opened the door for me for in a conglomerate before I now resign when God asked me to. It also gave me the opportunity to get another interview that they would have paid me over 350 something K in a month, which I actually rejected because of ministry. And the same incidents, the man to say he wants to have a chat with me, just by referral, says, and when I sat down, I came tied up. You trust me. Don't you know your pastor? Came tied up with my nanster, put a nanshed. You see, God looks at the heart, but man looks at the outward. Yeah. Now I sit down with God talking, and I was done talking. He said, Paul. He was now telling the person that referred me about me. Not knowing that the person that referred me is a good person. He was already told me that man spoke well of you and all that. So he challenged me up. So how far, when are you coming over? I said, I want to pray about it. I told him, God says no. Sure, he was angry. What do you mean by God says no and all of that? But the point I want to make is this. Alright, you have something. You know your problem? You have been trained and schooled to rate natural things above the invisible. Look, That's what I'm talking about, intelligent property. That's where we began from, property. Some of you now, you don't have a landed property, but you have some intelligent property. There's a lady in this church, alright. I remember the first time I began to speak with her, she was just coming to the church at that time, alright. One day I told her, I said, look. She's listening to me and I said, look, you have something that can feed you forever. And you, it's two things. It will feed you forever and you will still receive, well done, my servant, in heaven. Pay attention to it. I told her. Do you understand what I'm saying? So take your mind off from natural things. If you take your mind off from natural things, and then you look within. I mean, people in the occultic world, they know these things. All these guys, all these, you say they are going to Nevada, all these Buddha, they know how to go into this occasion where they will just be quiet within, just to listen, alright? And that posture, of course, you know, meditation in Christianity is not that their own mind blank, but you get the principle I'm trying to make here. Ours begins with talking, right? Don't go and be doing mind blank, mind travel. Abstract projection, those are demonic stuff. But I'm trying to let you know that, all right, the natural world is controlled by the metaphysical. So he asked, what can I do for you and what do you have in your house? So all you need to pull yourself up by your bootstrap begins with realizing that you have something. And that is what will give you this turnaround process to help you out. So what are the three things I want to iterate? This is the last page. From this story we just learned now. Number one is divine instruction. So go borrow vessels. I mean, if you're not a Christian, alright, because you might be wondering about people who are not Christians, who have made it through in their career and their post and all that. Did they also receive divine instruction? Listen, it's the same principle that there are things that are actually calling off, all right, for human response, all right, product and services must be built up. Let me tell you, look, listen, 200 million Nigerians that we have right now, if 100 million Nigerians right now raise up their desire for a Range Rover Sport, listen, if 100 million Nigerians today raise up their desire for a Range Rover Sport, vehement desire for it, do you know what will happen? People like Innocent will pick it up in their dream. Yes, sir. And the next thing is, you'll just be surprised on TV. You just hear Innocent goes into Innocent Range Rover Sport Nigerian model. And then people will watch it and say, can you imagine? Yesterday I was thinking it. I want Range Rover Sport. Another person in their house watching. I want Range Rover. So the moment, see, that means there are demands, all right, out there in the spirit for anyone to pick it up. Look, anyone. Somebody say anyone. Who will pick it up? And these things don't come to you in noisy environment or in a noisy life. That's why people who are called mavericks, majority of them, they are people who have quiet time. You know, quiet time is not praying time. I hope you know there are two different things. Where you sit down and you just want to have proper cogitation, alright, sometimes you also have to analyze your thinking process, your belief system, sometimes we call it introspection. Analyze your own emotions. These are the things here. So many times, if you pay attention from within, if you look inside, you are not without a witness. There is something in you. I mean, was it 2 days ago? I just came on Instagram and I saw, all right, this lady did something. I said, this guy can do short play. I thought it's only tongues and our home sales she can do. This guy can do short play. Did you understand what I'm saying? So, the divine instruction, go borrow vessels. Divine instruction demands obedience. You swing into action in obedience. The instruction may not give detail about the outcome, but the outcome is rested on the obedience of the widow. He says, look at what he told her. Let's go back there. Look at what he told her. He says, go borrow the vessels. That was all. There was the divine instruction here from the man of God. Go borrow the vessels. Abroad of all thy neighbors. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And look at what happened. Number two. Number one is divine instruction. Number two. Three ingredients. All right. In this process of pulling yourself, all right, by your bootstraps. Number two is, all right, the second ingredient is the jar of oil. All right, the jar of oil represents your impute. Now, the first one is God part, or let me say, all right, the ability to, you know, get into divinity and all that. And you see, we are divine people in human body, true?
Yes.
So two is the jar of oil. And that represents impute, what you have. And that you must bring to table. Or let me say, what you have that is useful for the situation. You are a single, or you are a mom, alright, you and your husband moved into an apartment, alright, in an estate, alright, and you realize that there is no, you just packed from one state to another state, alright, and you have two babies. Or three babies. Your neighbor has two babies. Or the other one has two babies. You can start a weekend school. Just get another apartment in that same estate and start a weekend school. Let them start bringing their babies. I hope you know in developed countries, babysitting is a lot of money. My friend was telling me that in the UK, they are paying £1,300 per month to a babysitter. I told him, I want to do babysitting then. Is it not to say, oh, mama. £1,200. Now, you see why, if you have a wife that is taking care of a baby, and you say, that's why when I see ladies, when you ask them, what's your job? I'm not working yet. I'm a housewife. Sometimes I feel like, and now, next year you'll be crying, stop the bias. You are the bias yourself. You are the one causing the bias. Because you are just doing a job of £1,200 already. Boy. When I heard it, £1,200, instantly I remember how I helped my parents raise our last born twins. You know, in Africa, if you are a firstborn, you are automatic surrogate parents. As in, you are assistant daddy, assistant mommy. In our own case, twins, I pack poo, It's like that one that is doing Shakara that I saw last week. Now that I'm asking her, where did he get? So you have money to buy this kind of expensive air. You're asking me for 5K every 2 months, every month. Or gem to 2K. She can, that one, anytime I see, I just remember, she can cry. She will cry, babysitting, so I could have earned £1,200 in a month. Oh boy. So you have something you are bringing to the table. Then the last one, borrowed vessels. That means, what other people bring to the table that multiply your oil. Notice he went to borrow vessels. Alright. And those vessels were empty. So he poured water in them and he was putting small oil inside all of them. That means you must learn people's skill. Look, if you don't learn people's skill, no matter how skillful you are, look, your skill will only feed you. If you want your skill to feed the world, to bless others, you must learn people management skill. You don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to organize. You don't know how to reach out to people. You can't do much in life. And let me tell you, one of the greatest places where you can actually test your people management skill is church. Because in church, church is the only place where, according to Apostle James, in James 4, church is the place where we don't know rich people, we don't know poor people, where everybody sits down together. And it is in church where you will see, Dr. Polenetche was sharing how that in the last Shiloh he went to, in Ota, Bishop Oedipo's annual meeting. How that he saw a billionaire who is an usher. There was one year I was listening to Bishop Oedipo and he was mentioning how that a chief judge A chief judge was among those that are washing the toilets during a major event. You now, if you have come on, 100,000 naira, I mean flight money, 100,000 naira, 100,000 naira, if enter your account now, you will come to church late. So church is a place where you actually learn how, because in church everybody is equal. Especially in a church like this. So what other people bring to the table that multiply your oil? That means, you know, I wish I had time, but time is fast spent. I will show you, you know, all right. In management, there's something we call other people's money, other people's time. That OPM and OPT, you can Google these things. All right, one of the way of learning, there's something we call inductive learning. When you hear something, you write it down. You go and research afterwards. This is a seminar. Because if you want to start a sewing outfit in Kefi, or you want to start something, all right, you must learn to employ the right people. I wish I have time to talk more on this. Because when you are starting out in that level of maybe you still have an idea, the only people that will finance you are family and friends and maybe church. And that kind of sphere of possibility of finance is very minimal. You can have $1 billion worth idea. You can't get that $1 billion from the beginning, thus say the Lord. Nobody will give you. Listen, nobody, no venture capitalist will give you. I gave you an example. That they will have to watch a track record. They watch a track record. Like the example I gave you of that, my senior friend. Spoke with this guy who is into financing. There's something we call asset financing. And debit financing. So he said, you know what? I have a project, all right? This project financing, help out. And the guy was like, until 4 years later, he called him and said, you know what? Let's have a coffee drink in Lekki. Why? Because he has watched the track record. Let me stop here. Even as a ministry, I saw something on social media late last year. Our Salvation Ministry of Ibiomi. God blessed them with a very massive property there in the United States. I mean, the county, even one of the board of trustees, they were looking, look, now listen to, because sometimes when people share testimony, all right, in church, don't just be carried away by the testimony. Listen very hard. How did it happen? So, I mean, this BOMS ministry, Dr. David Ibiome, all right, Pastor Ibiome of Salvation Ministry, God bless them with a $7 million insurance worth property in the United States. And guess what? They sold it to them for $10. Not $10,000, $10. You know what is $10? 5,000 naira. Money for airtime. And how did he give it to them? They went online. The ministry they wanted to give back to the church is a community church. They have where they do water baptism. They have children church. They have, $7 million. Do you know what is $7 million? $1 million is 500 million naira. 500 million times 7. That's 3.5 billion. You know what is 1 billion? That's 1 million like this. You know 1 million naira. You know how long it has, you get 1 million. 1 million naira. Now count 1 million into 1,000 places. You know 1 million. You put 1 million here like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million, 100 million, 200 million. Like, you are putting 1 million on one place like this till you fool this place. All right? That's 1 billion. Then in 3.5 places, free. Because it's free. They collected that money just for transactional purpose. What is $10? 5,000 naira. They should come and give me. I will even tell them, don't worry, I will 100 that $10. Give it to them. But do you know what they did? They went online. They were looking for a ministry to give. They went online and went to check their operations. That was how they contacted them. They were thinking of giving Billy Graham ministry or them. But during the meeting, they realized that they scaled up and gave to them. Guess what? And there are ministries in that same county. That's where they call it, county, all right? In that same county that are struggling. Eh? That means there is a level of success that if you don't break through from that level, you will not get huge help. That's why you see, giving up, quitting. Huh? You know what quitting does? When you quit. See, when you quit, you have killed yourself. That means you give yourself no opportunity to be helped. You know, this. Let me stop with this. So I'm giving you an example in ministry because that's my own industry, all right? I'm talking, permit me to use this word, industry, you understand? That's my own industry, all right? Pastor Benihin was sharing one time. He said, one day he walked up to Jack Efford. Jack Efford is a great man of God. He says, Efford, why are you guys helping me now? Why didn't you guys help me much, much younger? Because Benihin started ministry very pretty early in his wife's dad's church. As we used, they used to invite him to come and preach. Had a very strong healing anointing on his life. So why didn't you guys help me when I was starting younger? And look at what they said. Look at what Jack Efford said. Jack Efford said, we knew the anointing of God was on you as a very young guy, but we weren't just too sure if you will stay put long enough. Because we have seen many of your type young, they are hit and run visionaries. That means they don't have that staying power. And this is one thing plaguing our generation. You see somebody say, I was counseling with a lady just last year. 31 years old girl, you've had 3 wonderful kids and you're tired of the marriage. Why? I'm just tired. You're just tired. I say, so you thought marriage is business, but that's why I tell people, you see, all this flesh, this thing, all this doing, you calm down. When rubber hits road. Alright? You have to, and that, I told you before, that's one of the things that makes you a man. Ability to make a decision and stick with it. Because look, let me tell you, it's even easier. Eh? You know, it's easier emotionally to say, if something doesn't work, maybe it's because God didn't call me, God didn't send me. It's a lie. Sometimes you are just lazy, lazy, lazy. That's why you are saying, I think God did not call me, I think God did not send me, I think God did not. I hope you know that the people that are sitting here right now, the number of you sitting here is, in a time like this inside cafe, I hope you know it's something. Eh? When people have gone home and there is strife for months, I hope you know it's something. I hope you know you are here because I'm here. I mean, because God sent, God called you to come here. Oh, shit. But anyways, even if I'm not here physically, if it is Pastor Sandra or any of the pastors, you'll have to be here. Say loud amen. But do you get the point I'm making? What is the point? Huh? Don't quit so soon. So,
we know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.